Praise the Lord. I had a message planned, but because, you know, what we were talking about, I thought I was kind of focused on just try to give you guys peace. Yeah. One thing is, you know, the AMI pastors, we pretty much went through the same journey. We all come from a very conservative, reform, Calvinistic, fundamental background. And then we became charismatic, you know. And so, you know, we started out with saying, you know, being biblical is the most important thing. Being biblical is the most important thing. And as we studied the Bible, we saw that God does miracles, you know, and that God moves in a powerful way, that God heals, and that he uses all the spiritual gifts as we studied the Bible. And then, you know, we went on that journey. But we need to be very careful what we say is biblical or what's not biblical. We need to be careful. For example, I could write a volume. You know, the communion that almost every church in the United States, the way they do the communion, is not biblical. Did you understand what I'm saying? It's not biblical. Okay, in the New Testament, the way they did the communion, it wasn't this little bread and little cup, okay, and then drink it. Okay, we had the communion. But what they did is they met in their homes. They had a full meal. That was the communion. They had a full meal. And you know, that's why they go, you know, some of you just come for the meal. Well, if it was just that little bread, they wouldn't come. You got to have, you know, wrong heart. You just come to get your stomach full when we had the communion, you know. And they had a whole meal, and they met in the homes, and that they had the communion that way. Let's remember the Lord, okay? And even the way all the churches doing Sunday service is not biblical. They didn't do it like this, you know. They met in their homes, and they probably sat in a circle more than, you know, everybody facing me. And then somebody had a song to sing, somebody had a prophetic word, somebody had a testimony, somebody had a teaching, somebody, and then everybody was involved in the Sunday, worship. In worship. It wasn't like, this is the way we're meeting. I could say it's not biblical. Seminary? It's not biblical. No, I'm serious. War in the Bible. You know, you should have systematic 202, you know, and stuff like that, the ways that they're doing. I could say parachurch is not biblical. Playing guitar, that's what, you know, growing up in the 70s, you know, in the Korean church, that's what they said. Playing guitar is demonic. It's not in the Bible. Of course not. They didn't have guitars. Drums, you know. It's demonic. Drums are demonic. You know? So that's how I grew up in the 70s. When I, you know, in the 80s in high school in Korean church. Drum. To play the drum is radical. You know, and everybody used to say it's demonic. Drum is demonic. Did you go to Africa where they play witchcraft? They play drums, you know? People will come up to me, tongues, you know, Pastor Sam, you know, tongues. Do you know when the Buddhists, they speak in tongues? You know? So what I told this guy, you know, the Buddhists, they also give. I don't think you guys are understanding. Well, because the Buddhists give, we shouldn't give anymore. Huh? You know, they get together and meet, you know, the Buddhists. You know, the devil worshippers also meet together. They sing songs. Oh, we shouldn't do that anymore. Huh? We need to be careful, you know. But what I'm saying is, I'm not going to write a whole volume about the communion in the United States. That's not biblical. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to waste my time, you know, writing about how every church is not biblical the way they did their communion. Well, you know why? Because God is a lot more flexible. Right? He is a lot more flexible. God, you know, he can move even though we're not doing the way New Testament is doing in the communion that we have. Right? The Lord moves in the parachurch. The Lord moves in the seminary. He's not so limited. Okay, they're just eating a little bread and a little cup. I'm not moving there. You know, God's not like that. He's a lot more flexible. Right? He, you know, he can move in every situation, every circumstances. Amen? You know, and you know, in the Bible, God moves in a very different way. You know, in the Old Testament, he showed himself through the cloud, pillar of fire, pillar of cloud in the daytime, at night, pillar of fire. He spoke to his people through sermon. I don't know what that is, some priest, they were something. It's, you know, in the New Testament, you know how God spoke to the apostles when who should be the next apostle to take place of Judas? Lot. They threw a lot. Yeah, it's in the Bible. Right? It's in the Bible. They threw a lot to figure out what God wants. Right? You know, Moses, when he said, I want to see your glory, you know how God manifested that he met with God? His face started to glow. Right? His face just started to glow. He coming down the mountain, he saw the glory, a little bit of the glory of God, his face started to glow. And people go, oh man, this is too much. So they cover his face when they were talking to him. Right? This is too much. You know, it just... I'm freaking out, you know, Moses, I'm freaking out, I'm talking to you, your face is glowing, you know. So they cover his face. People, you know, just the angels, when they encounter angels, they would fall face forward. You know, they would just fall face forward. The Bible says God used a donkey to speak, to show his revelation, a donkey. And Jesus, you know what Jesus says? Huh, you know, if you stay silent, the rock will cry out. The rock could be used to speak God's word. A rock will cry out. Right? So God's not limited. Say to your neighbor, God's not limited. Right? And that's where what the scripture shows me. Right? He's not limited. And, you know, most of the AMI pastor, we went through two seasons, you know. The first season was this fundamental season, you know, and all we did was study the Word of God. You know, when I was in college, I joined the Navigators, and that's all they did, you know. I met with my discipler. We went over the Bible verses. We had to memorize two Bible verses a week. We had Bible study, you know. We had... when we got together, we had another Bible study. And it was just, you know, that was my first season of Christian life. Just meditating on the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God. And that's very important. That has to be the foundation. Right? That has to be the foundation. And then, during that season, then I went through another season where what I call the charismatic season. Right? And what I saw was, this is my attitude. During that very conservative, fundamental time, I'm very thankful to God for that time. Okay? Pastor Peter, you're thankful, right? And all the AMI pastors, they're thankful for that time. Because in that time, this is where we learn about holiness, about discipline. Right? I mean, you know, spiritual discipline, that's where we lay the foundation. You know, because of that time, you know, I have devotion every day. You know, my prayer life is very consistent. Huh? And there was the spiritual discipline that I learned because of that season that I went through. But then I also saw bad things from that season. There was legalism, there was performance. You thought you knew everything. You become critical of everybody else. And that's not good. All right? But what I try to do is, okay, from that season, what were you trying to teach me? What were you showing me? Yeah, the spiritual discipline, the foundation on the Word of God, holiness, I receive. The legalism, I reject. The performance, I reject. Being critical of everybody else, I reject. The pride, thinking that you know everything more than everybody, I reject that. What? And then when I went into the charismatic season, you know, there was a lot of good. That's where I learned about the love of the Father, the intimacy with God, about the supernatural, about praying for the sick. Right? And then the bad was, what I saw in the charismatic camp, there's a lot of hype. You know, a lot of hype, a lot of abuse of spiritual gifts, where things are, you know, a force. Nothing's happening. Oh, something's happening. No, that's not, nothing's really happening. No, you just got to believe something's happening. Well, nothing's happening, though. You know, things are forced. And for me, it's not one or the other. In AMI, we call this, what is it, radical middle, right? We call this the radical middle. It's not one or the other, but it's both. The way we see, well, you know, this very important things that we learn in the fundamental camp and the important things that we learn in the charismatic camp, it's like peanut butter and jelly. that's how I take it. Huh? Like peanut butter and jelly. You eat just the peanut butter, it's okay. Yeah? You eat the jelly and it's okay, but when you put it together, okay, there's a synergy. Huh? There's a synergy, a lot better. You could eat it every day, you know? And it's good for you, you know? Now you got the protein and the carb, you know? You know, so it's good for you, you know? And that's how we take it. It's what we call in AMI, the radical middle. The radical middle. It's like, but you know, those two camps tend to fight each other all the time. Oh, we're right, you're wrong. You know, you are legalistic. Oh yeah, you're fake. You know, it's just a stick fight. And to what we try to do is like having a good marriage between a husband and wife. If you were in a bad marriage, you don't want to be in that home. Right? They're always fighting, you know, and the children are, you know, depressed, the family is depressing, and it's fighting, right? What we see this is a good marriage between a husband and wife. And when that's there, it blesses the children. It blesses the whole church. It's a good marriage. And that's what we're trying to figure out in AMI. How do we make this into a good marriage? Right? Amen? Does that help you? Right? Amen? And so, you know, but be careful. You know, like, I used to limit God. That's what I just don't want to do anymore. What I saw in the movement of work of the Holy Spirit, you know why God uses me? This is one conviction I had. What I do is I just try to not get in the way of God. That's all. I try not to get in the way of what God wants to do. And the second thing that I think that helps in walking in the supernatural is that I am just hungry for more of God. Those two things. I'm hungry for you, God, but I'm not going to block or get in your way. Like I said, I'm just a straw. I just want to be a straw. And I seek that, you know why? It's not because I just want to see people manifest. You know, can you imagine? You just come to a meeting, everybody shakes, and then they go home. What good is that? You know, who wants that? I don't want that. You don't want that. You know, just people shake. I went to conference. All they did was, you know, it was just ministry time. People shake, scream, and fall and stuff like that. And then you turn on the light, they go, that felt good, and they go home. You know, we don't want that. That's not what we want. But what we're saying is we want the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? You see, what I saw yesterday was God knows you better than me. And some of you, God was delivering. Some of you, the Lord was encouraging. Some of you, the Lord healed. Right? There was real healing that happened. Yes, I understand there could be placebo effect and stuff like that and psychosomatic stuff. We accept that. We're not going, you got to believe. No, those things happen. Right? It happens. But we're not saying that's all it is either. No. In Scripture, we see supernatural healing. Right? And I want you to know that when I was ministering, to me, I got to remember this. Not all churches, I got to just remember this because this is, to me, very normal. It happens all the time. Okay? Yeah, 15 years ago, like, maybe in 5 years, somebody's headache, disappeared when I prayed, one time. Nowadays, it's a regular occurrence. And I'm in New Jersey. I'm not in Africa. I'm not in China. I know in just foreign country, God moves that way, in mission fields of God. No, I'm in New Jersey. I'm in New Jersey. And it's just a, it happened. You know, to me now, miracle, people getting healed is a, just a normal thing. So when it happened, I don't go, I go, okay, thank you, God. You know, next. next. And people getting hit with the Holy Spirit. And that's a good thing. It's a personal thing. Right? It's a personal thing. The Lord sometimes delivers. The Lord sometimes bring healed. And don't call everything demonic. Some woman or man, they just, they cry. You know what that is? God is just healing them of personal, emotional pain. Right? Emotional pain. Right? And so, but he's just doing a lot of things. If you ask me, what is God doing? I don't know. He knows. Ask him. you go ask him. But I just know he moves. And he loves you. With healing, I just went through this last year. Oh, it was a hard year. I just want to share with you because I was sick for a year and a half. Right? I was sick for, and I don't mean just, I had different sickness back to back for a year and a half. First, for 6 months or 8 months, I lost the sense of smell completely. I couldn't smell anything. And I didn't know how important smell is. Right? Food tastes bland if you can't smell. I ate something and drank something. It was spoiled. I couldn't tell because I couldn't smell. That's how you tell something's spoiled, by your smell. It wasn't the taste. I thought it was the taste. No, it was your sense of smell. I didn't know if my body on underarm was smelling. When I was sitting next to somebody. And I'm just self-conscious. Okay, did I take a bath? I don't know. For 8 months, I'm going through this. Right? And after that, I started to get, better, recover little bit by little bit, and then my back went out. Right? And then I started to recover from my back going out, and then I got the skin disease. It just started rash, start forming. Right? And after that, I just got so many different things. My church was going, what's wrong with you, Pastor? And then I got this viral infection on the roof of my mouth, and I couldn't even drink. It was so painful. It kept me up all night for 8 days because the pain was so intense. Anything touched it, I would go. The only way that I could eat was I had to get a straw, and the only thing that I could eat was some liquid and make sure it doesn't touch the roof of my mouth, put the straw in the back and suck it. I lost 15 pounds. I lost 15 pounds. And, there was another one and another one and another one. For a year and a half, I was sick. But what was crazy? I don't know if it's crazy, but I don't know how you would take it. But during that time, I would pray for people who were sick, and they get healed. So I go, gee. this guy went back, his back went out, and my back was out too, right? And he goes, Pastor Sam, my back went out. Oh, okay. God heal his back. Oh, praise God, I'm healed, praise God. I don't understand why God didn't heal me, but he's using me to heal others. But after a while, I realized it was something that the Lord was teaching me. Because when I had a skin disease, there was a mom brought a baby with the same skin disease that I had, very similar. And I go, I didn't care about my skin disease. And I was praying for this baby, and I just started to cry. And the mom took the baby away. And I continue to pray day after day for that baby. Because I know what that baby was going through. And then a year and a half of sickness, finally, thank God. it's just no more. Right? It was a really tough year and a half. And, you know, some, and I didn't know why, but, you know, during that time, I want you to know I didn't complain. I didn't complain. Church member go, what's wrong with you? What's going on? I go, I don't know, but I never doubted God's love for me. Never, not once. What? Well, the roof of the mouth. I know, whatever. You know, just, and then when I had kidney stone, that was kind of, you know. But you know, I was just in pain, you know, I was just in pain. But I never really doubt God's love for me. I know that's something, I don't care how difficult the circumstances, that's given now for me. That's not shakable anymore for me. The devil can't attack that anymore. Though he take my life, I will always praise him. And that should be a solid foundation. Right? That shouldn't be so shakable in your life either. You know, you didn't get a promotion. God doesn't love me. You know? Oh, I didn't get a gift of tongue. Oh, God doesn't love me. Why does he? God loves her. No, I don't. I don't question God's love for me. And then what happened is after that year and a half season, wow, you know, I'm praying for the sick. Ooh, I think I got to another level. Okay, prophecy, I was 3 a couple years ago. I'm 4 now. Right? And with healing, I was 2. I'm 3 now. Right? I'm 3. When I get to 10, the shadow. Okay? My shadow is going to, you know, heal people. Right? No, that's in scripture, right? My shadow is going to heal people. My goal is to get to 10. Well, maybe, you know, God says your limit is 7. Well, I'm going to get to 7. I'm doing everything I can to get there. So be careful what you say is, you know, biblical and stuff. Like, for example, tongues, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 5. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. Oh, wait. You know? What does it say? Yeah. You know, and also prophet, yeah, but that's what Apostle Paul says here. Verse 15. If you could do verse 15. Okay, what does verse 15 say? I'm not sure. Verse 15? So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. And so here's Apostle Paul. What does he mean when he says, I will pray with my spirit? I will sing with my spirit. Right? That's tongues. Right? Verse 18. I thank God that I speak in tongue more than all of you. Paul was against tongue. Okay. If you're not good, verse 39. Just do verse 39. Oh. What does it say? Do not forbid speaking in tongues. Okay. All right. Do you guys study the scripture? That's what Paul's saying. But honestly, when I became a Christian, when I was college, somehow I convinced people in my fellowship that tongue was demonic. I don't know how I did it. From the Bible, I got the Bible. You know, tongue is demonic. I didn't show that one verse, isn't there? You know, it's not biblical. Doesn't exist anymore. You know, that's what and I go back to the scripture. I go, how did I do that? I have no idea. You know what I did? I didn't go to scripture. What I did was I listened to somebody else who didn't go to scripture, and I listened to him. What he said was in scripture. Nowadays, you could find somebody on YouTube that says something, you know? Oh, the Bible says, no, the YouTube said. Google said. But Scripture said. You know? So what we are stressing is, study the Scripture. Right? Study the Scripture. Say that to your neighbor. Amen. Right? Don't listen to YouTube. what I really encourage in the 20 years, in the 25, yeah, 20 years, that 20, over 20, oh man, 24 years I've been in ministry, full-time ministry, right? Maybe, like, it's a long time. And I've seen, you know, God do crazy things, you know. I remember one time, you know, the bunch of women in the church went, and my wife, you know, they went to a conference. They came back, and you know, it's kind of crazy. They came back, and their filling, whoever had the filling, it turned silver. Honest truth, I'm not lying to you. Okay? One was a pastor's wife, one of the staff. She come, look, Pastor Stan, look at my filling, and it was silver, right? They go, well, you got silver filling. No, it wasn't silver. And you know what? The weird thing is, it was shape of a cross, silver. The filling. Right? And then another lady, same thing, the filling turned silver. Right? And, you know, it's just crazy stuff. And I seen, shaking, you know, people, you know, and this is funny. When we were in Romania, you know, Pastor Peter and I were there, we're ministering to people, and the lady came up, those stuff doesn't happen. They don't know anything. And then we're just praying. And I just felt the Holy Spirit touch her. And she's crying and crying. And she goes, she's just, oh God. She's going, and she's just, you know, and the pastor, holy laughter. Holy laughter. Right? That's what holy laughter. We don't want holy laughter. We don't want holy laughter. No, holy, what are you talking about? She's just happy that God's touching her. Yeah? And she was just crying and just overjoyed because she was encountering the reality of God. Huh? If you read Scripture during worship, there's more passage on being joyful than crying. Did you know that? Huh? Oh, worship, you have to be solemn and no emotion, nothing. That's worship. No. Sing for joy. Clap your hand. That's Old Testament. In a legalistic culture. You know, all this freedom. And I think that's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to set people free. Right? And we limit what God does because we limit Him. We limit Him. We categorize and we label and everything God's doing, you know, when you cannot really understand what He's doing sometimes. You know? And so if you ask, what's the purpose of all this, you know, silver filling, you know, one time, you know, we had a prayer meeting and there was sparkles falling on some people. Sparkles. I mean, it was like this. I mean, nobody was throwing sparkles. It was falling on people, and they pray, and you see like sparkles all over them. Huh? And so, is it in Scripture? No, that one's not in Scripture. Gold filling is not in. No, silver filling is not in Scripture. Okay. But there's a passage that I love. Okay, I want you to turn to it. That explains to me everything. Psalm 115, verse 3. Psalm 115, verse 3. Everybody be there? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. Okay? This is what makes him God. Gosh, you know, I was sharing this morning during breakfast, you know, Job, God never tells him why he suffered. He didn't, even though that's the one thing that he wanted to know throughout the whole book of Job. I want to know why I'm suffering. I don't understand. And then toward the end of the book of Job, God reveals himself, but he never tells him why he suffers, but he just shows him things that he cannot comprehend. All the things that he cannot comprehend with his limited human mind. And what was Job's response? You are God. You are God. And God still doesn't tell him why he suffered. We know because we have the book of Job, but Job didn't have the book of Job. But he was satisfied. You are God. There are things that you do that I don't understand. You know, in the book of Isaiah, God tells Isaiah, okay, this is the truth. Look, you know, God tells Isaiah to be stripped and barefooted. It's a sign against Egypt. Walk around, you know, Egypt and Cush for 3 years. Walk around naked. What? 3 years. What? If, okay, one of you came to Pastor Peter, God spoke to me. What did God say? To walk around San Diego for 3 years naked. What's the first thing that you would say? Yeah, that's not God. God would never say that. Isaiah 20. Yeah. Okay, what about this? Abraham, yes, God, kill your son. Sacrifice him. You know, that's in scripture. God did that. Sacrifice your son if you really believe in me. Right? If anybody else, if any father came to me and said, God wants me to kill my son, I would call the police. That's not God. Right? Genesis. It is God. Yeah. We have this, and it's throughout scripture. You know, God asks his people to do things that doesn't make sense. Gideon, you know. Right. Jericho, you know, doesn't make any sense. Right. So I just want us to not limit God. You got to just understand, don't limit God. Don't limit the Lord. I think... we're so afraid what the devil does, you know. But I want you to know that anything could be abused, okay? Like I said before, teaching could be abused. Even in the conservative camp, teaching could be abused. There could be heresy, okay? Leadership could be abused. Prophecy could be abused, okay? Gift of healing could be abused. But I'm just... challenging you, don't be afraid of the devil. Right? Don't be afraid of the counterfeit. Some of you carry around cash. How many of you have cash? Right? How many of you use cash? Right? And I want you to know, like, there are counterfeits out there. Did you know that? Right? There are counterfeits out there. You're not that naive, right? You know that there... Then why? Why? What if your $20 bill is counterfeit? What? Don't use cash anymore. It might be a counterfeit. No, you're not afraid. Even though you know there are counterfeit out there, you still use cash. You have confidence in money more than God. What? And how many of you know counterfeiters? They don't counterfeit $1 bills. Did you know that? It's not like they get together and go, you know, thief one, yes. Yes, thief two. Let's counterfeit quarters. Great idea. You know? Let's counterfeit quarters. You know, how many do we need to, you know, to make $100? You know? You know what they counterfeit $100 bills? Huh? What they counterfeit is something that's worthwhile. And God is a supernatural God. Right? God does incredible things. Yes, the devil counterfeits it. But don't be afraid of it. God's more powerful. Right? You stick to scripture, you know, listen to Pastor Peter. Right? And he's going to teach you. You love each other. Focus on love. That's the way you avoid counterfeit. Right? You know that God loves you, and you move together. Don't create any disunity, division. And you're going to go to another level, another level, another level. I'm praying. I want to see a blind person get healed. Huh? It's going to happen. Because I said last year, I want to pray for somebody who has tumor and get healed. Somebody already got healed. But I'm being honest, I pray for somebody who had cancer and they passed away too. But I don't understand it. I don't have the answer. But I'm not going to stop praying for healing. I'm not going to be discouraged. There's a lady named Heidi Baker. She, when I saw her in Mozambique, I mean, God used her in so powerful way. And so every time there goes outreach, she says, "Who's blind? Who's deaf?" Because anybody who comes up, almost 90% of the time, I heard almost. Well, they said 100%, but I don't know. Okay, like when they go out to the bush and event, they get healed. And I saw two girls come up, couldn't hear, healed. But you know what she said? She must have prayed for 1,000 people who were deaf and they didn't get healed in the beginning. For years, she would pray for the blind and nothing happened. Right? But she didn't give up. She continues to pray. And there's healing. And some of you are looking at me, you know, God's using me to heal people and stuff. You got to understand, there were years, like I prayed, I got excited about what God's power, and I say, "Who's sick? Come on up." And I remember the first person came, "I got a headache," and I pray for that person. You know, okay, God, heal the headache. I go, "How do you feel?" You know, I'm bleeding, that thirsty. He goes, "Oh, it became a migraine." You know, it really hurts. I see the disappointment, and I didn't know what to do. I go, "You know, what do you say when it gets worse?" when you pray for the person, it gets worse. You know, God loves you, you know. I'll continue to pray. I think, go, please don't, you know. And nothing happened. You know, I'll continue to pray for the sick. Nothing happened. And I'll continue to pray for the sick. And then I start to see healing. And now I start to see more healing and more healing and more healing. And I'm going to continue. And that's what I challenge you, Kairos. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Okay. Oh, this is so important, though. You know, those who got healed, maybe next, I don't know, Pastor Peter, if you could have a testimony time. What? You could do it now? Okay. Yeah, I think this is important because in the AMI and Kairos, we don't want to make you feel guilty in any way. No, there's nothing that's forced. Right? There's nothing that's forced. But if there's a healing, you do need to testify. You know, because what happens is when you testify, you create an environment of healing. Right? When in the Old Testament, what they did is every time God did some miraculous thing, you know what the Israelites did? They've set up a memorial. God did this. So that the next generation could remember. The reason the Israelites fell away because they forgot what God did in the past. They forgot. That's why they were constantly reminded, don't you remember what God did at the Red Sea? Don't you remember what God did to bring you out of Egypt? They forgot. So you need to testify. Some of you were miraculously healed. Some of you, there was different things that the Lord did, you know, set you free. And you just come up and just, you could just say that, God, I had this for this many years or this many months. And God, not Pastor Sam, right? God healed me.